Heavenly Father, your word is truth. It is a light in our world so filled with darkness. As we look at it together this morning, please show yourself more clearly to us. May we hear what you say to us, and may it change our hearts. Help me to teach faithfully and clearly this morning. We pray these things for your glory. Amen. Remember earlier, we looked at some celebrities and we were trying to figure out who was worth the most. But really, they're all extremely rich, aren't they? Lavish houses, beautiful cars, the latest gadgets, the coolest clothes. Quite often, if we're honest with ourselves, we'd quite like to be rich too, wouldn't we? I know I often wish I was. Money is a huge desire of our hearts. And money can be really helpful, can't it? Do you remember when the Grenfell disaster happened a couple of years ago? That tragic news story, huge towers full of people that went up in flames in London. After those tragic events, over £25 million was raised to support those who needed to be rehomed and to help grieving families of those who lost loved ones. It was a great example of how money can be really helpful. Just last year, in our own church, we had to reach out for financial donations, didn't we, to repair our roof. The money we received helped us to secure our building. Money might be just pieces of metal and paper, but it does hold value in our world today, and it can be used for good. But so often it's also very dangerous. You'd only have to ask this guy. Omar Siddiqui is his name. Omar knows a lot about money and how dangerous it can be. Omar was addicted to gambling, so he'd play games to win more and more money. He always wanted more. He was good at the games that he played as well. People would travel from all over the country to watch him play. But there's always one game that doesn't go your way. And Omar's one game of blackjack started with him playing, this is staggering, he started playing $140,000 per hand. That night, Omar lost $65 million, all because he wanted that little bit more. And we can all relate to that, can't we? That feeling of wanting more. If I just had that little bit more, I'd be able to do what I wanted, to live in the house that I want, or to travel to where I want to go. I certainly remember as a kid trying to do those puppy dog eyes, you know, to your parents to get extra chocolate. And my sister would tell you that she was always asking for a little bit more time in bed. In our passage this morning, Jesus has been speaking to thousands of people. They've travelled from miles around to hear what he has to say. He was a bit of a celebrity in his local area. People wanted to see what all the fuss was about. And he's been telling them about the dangers of saying and doing the right things towards God in public, but not actually living them the same way in privacy. After listening to Jesus speak, there must have been so many questions. There must have been people wanting to talk to him, wanting to make themselves known to him. And the one guy that Luke decides to focus in on a passage today is in verse 13. Let's take a look at what he says together. He says this, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." This guy's a bit like Omar, isn't he? He wants more, and he's got a plan. He has some money that he thinks he's entitled to, and he wants Jesus to tell his brother what he thinks he's owed. But Jesus' response isn't quite what he expects. He tells him a story. In the Bible, Jesus tells lots of these stories, and they're called parables. They're designed to help us learn something about ourselves, and more importantly, something about God. So let's see what he says in that parable. We're going to read from verse 16. And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop." He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" This guy had got so much to harvest. He didn't have enough room in the barns that he owned. He had so much. And his solution is, "I'm going to tear down those barns and I'm going to build new ones, bigger ones." Why? so that he can save what he has, so that he can keep it for himself. Make sure he has more than any other person, so that he can live comfortably, so life is easy, so he can enjoy the pleasures of this world. But we see in our story today that God works on a different timeline to us. He sees things a little bit differently, and he says to this man, your life could be over at any point. Do you see where he says that in our passage? Verse 20, he says, this very night your life will be demanded from you. And he asks the question, who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Really what he's saying is, when that happens, what good is what you have saved? What good are your possessions then? What do you have left then? Was that smart preparation you did worth it? Was it even preparation at all? At the beginning of our passage, before the parable has begun, back in verse 14, you can see Jesus says, who may be the judge between you two? He's saying, I'm not the judge over your sibling rivalry. But just by using that language of judge, Jesus is making a really clear point. Because we know, don't we, that Jesus is a judge. In fact, he's the ultimate judge, and his courtroom is not there to deal with the trivial matters, but rather to deal with huge issues. Huge value. Issues of life or death. Eternity with God or without him. Have a look at verse 21. God gives a startling warning to the man in the parable. It's also a warning to the brother who came to Jesus, and also to us today. The parable is about us. He says in verse 21, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. And that anyone includes us here today, doesn't it, in St. Peter's. So we need to make sure we know what he's saying. He isn't saying don't have food in your cupboards. He isn't saying don't save your pocket money so that you can get the game you want, or don't put money into your savings for your children's education. Of course he's not saying that. But like we said earlier, money is helpful, it can do good. But he's saying watch out. In fact, look with me, he says it, Jesus' words in verse 15. He says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Jesus asks us to know what it feels like to live uncomfortably, to sacrifice our comfort and security for God. And what an example we have of that very thing, don't we? Jesus sacrificed his comfort, his security, when he died for us on the cross. God asks us to be prepared. Jackson Brown Jr. writes in one of his novels, the best preparation for tomorrow is doing your best today. The best preparation for tomorrow is doing your best today. It's important we're prepared for that ultimate day when Jesus will judge, because one, the stakes are too high not to be prepared, and two, it could come at any time, just like our passage tells us. So as we finish this morning, here are four ways I think we can be prepared as we think about being rich towards God. The first is this: we can study God's word and hold it as a treasure in our life. God has given us a beautiful gift in the form of this book. It's how we get to know him better. It's how we learn more about ourselves and how much we need Jesus. It tells us all about that incredible sacrifice of Jesus. As we sang earlier, we have gone from a wretch to a treasure in God's eyes because of the price Jesus paid. That book that you've got in your hands now is a preparation pamphlet for heaven, albeit it's a very large pamphlet, but it is full of so many rich truths that we can treasure. The more we read our Bibles, rely on God's word, the more we recognise how great our God is, how much more will we want to serve him and give to his work. Secondly, we can pray against a love for money over God. I've said already this morning, but it's so easy to love money and to place its importance over God, isn't it? To find our security in savings or possessions rather than in Jesus, who died for us. Rather than the God who created everything that we have and controls when and what we receive. When was the last time you asked God to help you change that aspect of your heart? I know it's been a long time for me. We should be actively asking God to change the desires of our own hearts, helping us to recognise that our need for salvation is far greater than our need for a large bank balance. next. We should trust God will meet our needs. Jesus hung on a cross. He was mocked, whipped, practically naked. He'd been humiliated publicly. His friends had denied him. He was alone. He had absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing except his Father. Do you remember those words he said when he was on that cross? He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus had nothing. But he trusted his Father would meet his needs, would protect him, would do what was necessary. Just imagine if we all had that kind of trust. Wouldn't it be incredible if we were able to find our comfort in God's plan for us? And finally, I say it unashamedly, give regularly. Quite simply, our use of our money shows our heart's desires and what we deem to be important. You only have to see my receipts from Hotel Chocolat and Waterstones to know that that is true. If we truly treasure God, we hold him above all our possessions and we trust his provision and protection for us, we should have little difficulty taking on board the message of this passage. It's a message to live uncomfortably now and to help others to be prepared for that day when Jesus comes again. To help God's people spread that amazing gospel that we have to share. Sacrificial giving looks different in every circumstance, and it's really difficult. It requires prayerful thought, sometimes difficult conversations, and a sense of unease as well. But friends, God asks us to do one thing in this passage, and that is to be rich towards him. Remember the context of our passage this morning? Jesus has been speaking about religious people who say one thing, but do something different in private. Do you have a tendency to be like that with your money? We look around us at the world and we see that the church needs our support. Right here in St. Peter's, we can see how difficult it is when we don't have the money to support the great work of talking about Jesus. Can I urge you this morning to consider whether you're prepared? Not for next week's shopping, not for your holiday next year or your new car, but whether you're prepared for Jesus to take that position in his courtroom. Are you truly being rich towards God, or are you living comfortably? As we sit, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the provider of all things good. We thank you for all the blessings you give us. And we ask this morning that you will convict us, work within our hearts, help us to consider how to be rich towards you. We ask it for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen.